How's it going, everyone? Welcome back to the Femme Fatale podcast, the best podcast on the internet for all things self-help, psychology, and mindset, and just becoming the best versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Lauren, and today we're talking about boundaries, the different types of boundaries we can have, what healthy boundaries look like, and how to establish them in relationships, as well as what boundaries truly mean in psychology, because I think that the term boundaries, like a lot of psych buzzwords, have been twisted and skewed in pop culture and pop psychology, and somewhere along the way, we've lost the true meaning of boundary setting. Tying into that, we're also going to go a bit into the term weaponized psychology and the whole drama surrounding Jonah Hill's boundaries with his ex-girlfriend, Sarah Brady. So what are boundaries? This term has become very popular in recent years, and especially in the past month in pop culture with the whole drama between Jonah Hill and his ex-girlfriend, which I'll get into a little bit more later. But like many things in pop culture, especially psychology, there's definitely a contrast between real psychology and social media and pop culture psychology, which is oftentimes inaccurate. So, what does the official APA dictionary tell us? According to the APA dictionary, boundaries are a psychological declaration that protects the integrity of an individual or group, or that helps the person or group set realistic limits on participation in a relationship or activity. I think it's important to note that boundaries are in relation to ourselves and what we will accept and allow for ourselves, and not rules or ways to control others. Boundaries do not attempt to control someone else's behaviors and are not geared at changing the way a person lives. They are only a measure of what an individual will accept in their own personal life and the actions they themselves will take. It's not about trying to change people, but instead adjusting our own reactions to their behaviors. This whole control versus boundaries discourse was kind of brought to light with the situation between Jonah Hill and his ex-girlfriend Sarah Brady. And if you don't know the situation, basically after the two broke up, some texts between Sarah and Jonah were released on Sarah's Instagram story. And in the messages, Jonah is stating to her like his boundaries for the relationship. And keep in mind that Sarah was a professional surfer before she even got with Jonah. But the texts read as follows, and this is Jonah speaking. Plain and simple, if you need surfing with men, boundaryless and appropriate friendships with men, to model, to post pictures of yourself in a bathing suit, to post sexual pictures, friendships with women who are in unstable places and from your wild recent past beyond getting a lunch or a coffee or something respectful, I'm not the right partner for you. If these things bring you to a place of happiness, I support it, and there will be no hard feelings. These are my boundaries for a romantic relationship. My boundaries with you based on the ways these actions have hurt our trust. So as we can discern from that, Jonah is misusing the term boundaries and is presenting it in a way that is controlling to his partner's behaviors. It's controlling behavior covered up by a psych term such as boundaries. And I've unfortunately seen this tactic used way too many times, where people will use psych terminology or therapy talk to try and manipulate their partners or come across as being the good guy. And I can't speak if this was a conscious action done by Jonah or not. But regardless, this can definitely be a dangerous form of gaslighting, and for people who are not well-versed in the proper use of these terms, it can be very effective and a sneaky way to manipulate others. I think what Jonah should have done was used more I statements and came from a place of his own experience and how her actions were affecting him, instead of trying to make these hard, rigid, controlling, quote, boundaries. While I was looking more into the Jonah Hill situation, I was really shocked to see how divided the internet actually was over this. There were a lot of people, many of them men on Reddit, who agreed with Jonah and that the limits he was setting were in fact boundaries, and that if Sarah didn't agree with them, she was free to leave the relationship. But I do want to take a moment to briefly counter that statement, because when someone is involved in a controlling or emotionally abusive relationship, I don't have any idea what Jonah and his girlfriend's relationship look like behind closed doors, so I can't really speak on theirs specifically. But in general, in a controlling relationship like that, you really need to be able to consider the power dynamic that's in hand. saying that the victim can leave at any time if they don't agree with what the abuser or partner in control has to say seems very like victim blamey to me. And it's definitely a lot more complex than just being able to leave a relationship. As I'm sure many of you have heard, on average, it takes a victim about 7 tries to leave an abusive or emotionally manipulative relationship. So there's definitely a lot more nuance and a lot more complexity. Okay, so now we're going to move on from what poor boundaries look like and controlling behavior and move on to what boundaries really look like and how we can set healthy boundaries in our relationships, whether that be romantic, platonic, familiar, or professional. The extent of how healthy or poor our boundaries are can fluctuate and be different depending on the situation or type of boundary. So, for example, a person who always keeps others at a distance, whether that be emotionally, physically, or otherwise, is said to have rigid boundaries. Alternatively, someone who tends to get too involved with others has poor boundaries. Ideally, there is a happy medium, which is healthy boundaries. And healthy boundaries are assertive without being rigid. They can be somewhat fluid and malleable without being too relaxed. And you can think of boundaries, for me, I use the example of a strainer. And say you're washing a whole bunch of fruit. The fruit will not pass through the holes in the strainer, but the water will. So similarly, there are some things that might be non-negotiable for you. Maybe that's like, for an example, infidelity in a relationship. But at the same time, there are other things that might be able to pass through occasionally, like being a bit late to a date. Now let's go over the different types of boundaries. The first one is physical boundaries. Physical boundaries refer to personal space and physical touch. Healthy physical boundaries include an awareness of what's appropriate and what's not in various settings and types of relationships. For example, should I hug, shake hands, or kiss this person? Physical boundaries may be violated if someone touches you when you don't want them to, or when they invade your personal space. For example, like rummaging through your bedroom. The next one is intellectual boundaries. Intellectual boundaries refer to thoughts and ideas. Healthy intellectual boundaries include respect for others' ideas and an awareness of appropriate discussion. For example, should we talk about the weather with this person or politics? Intellectual boundaries are violated when someone dismisses or belittles another person's thoughts or ideas. The next one is emotional boundaries. Emotional boundaries refer to a person's feelings. Healthy emotional boundaries include limitations on when to share and when not to share personal information. For example, gradually sharing personal information during the development of a relationship as opposed to revealing everything to everyone right away from the get-go. Emotional boundaries are violated when someone criticizes, belittles, or invalidates another person's feelings. The next one is sexual boundaries. Sexual boundaries refer to the emotional, intellectual, and physical aspects of sexuality. Healthy sexual boundaries involve mutual understanding and respect of limitations and desires between sexual partners. Sexual boundaries can be violated with unwanted sexual touch, pressure to engage in sexual acts, or sexual comments. The next one is material boundaries. Material boundaries refer to money and possessions. Healthy material boundaries involve setting limits on what you will share and with who. For example, it may be appropriate to lend a car to a family member, but probably not someone you met this morning. Material boundaries are violated when someone steals or damages another person's possessions, or when they pressure them to give or lend them their possessions. The last type of boundary are time boundaries. Time boundaries refer to how a person uses their time. To have a healthy time boundary, a person must set aside enough time for each facet of their life, such as work, relationships, and hobbies. Time boundaries are violated when another person demands too much of another person's time. The first step to creating healthy boundaries is always to recognize where the state of your boundaries is currently at. There are some traits that can help us distinguish our boundary type, and remember, the type can fluctuate based on what it is the boundary is for. So, how can we tell if we have healthy boundaries? Rigid boundaries, or porous boundaries. Traits of rigid boundaries include avoiding intimacy or close relationships, not asking for help, having few close relationships, and very protective over personal information. They may also seem detached, even with romantic partners, and keep others at a distance to avoid the possibility of rejection. On the complete flip side, traits of porous boundaries include oversharing personal information, difficulty saying no to the requests of others, over-involved with others' problems, dependent on the opinions of others, accepts abuse or disrespect, fears rejection if they do not comply with others, and finally, the happy medium, healthy boundaries. The traits of healthy boundaries include valuing our own opinions, not compromising values for others, sharing personal information in an appropriate way, and knows personal wants and needs and can communicate them, as well as accepting when others say no. I also want to add real quick that because boundaries look different for everyone, don't let anyone try and put you down for something that genuinely makes you uncomfortable. For example, I know a lot of girls who don't like it when their boyfriends like girls' pictures on Instagram, and maybe they don't care if it's their friends that are girls, but maybe they do care if it's like someone they used to see or hook up with or have some kind of history with. And you have every right to communicate that to your partner because it's how you feel. It definitely helps to use I statements in this case, like I feel uncomfortable when you like girls' photos that you've hooked up with or something like that. And from that point, you guys can come up with a solution together. And some of the time that means compromise, but a good partner should be able to always take both yours and their feelings into account, just like how you should be as well, and come up with a compromise based on that. Of course, there'll be times when there's non-negotiables and that's up to your own discretion. But for the majority of the time, it's healthy to not be super unrealistic or have very strict ultimatums all the time. So after you've stated your boundary in a confident, respectful, and clear way, it's important to tell the other person what you would like for them to do instead. For example, this could be a friend who always comes over and leaves a mess and doesn't clean up when they leave. You should be clear by saying, "Hey, friend name, I love when you come over, but I've noticed that sometimes you leave a mess when you go. I like to keep my spaces clean. Could you please throw out your trash when you're done?" As you can tell by that example, the personal boundary was keeping your space clean. The action item was asking your friend to throw away their trash when they leave. This was said in a clear and respectful tone as well. You should always make sure to be planning ahead and thinking about what you want to say and how you want to say it beforehand, too. This can help you feel more confident about your position, especially if you're entering a difficult discussion. Lastly, like most things in relationships, be prepared to compromise. When it's appropriate, you should be ready to listen to the concerns and needs of the other person. Of course, you don't have to compromise. It is your choice, but give and take is part of any healthy relationship. So now that we've discussed the different types of boundaries and how to set healthy boundaries, let's dive into what we can do if someone is continuously disrespecting our boundaries. Because although we hate to see it, this is definitely something that can happen and something that we should all be prepared for. Sometimes it can be hard to recognize when your boundaries are being violated. That is why it's helpful to get to know yourself better, and if you want to take the time to journal about your values and what you accept and don't accept in relationships and for yourself, then please feel free to take the time to do so now. I got into my first relationship not knowing what my boundaries were yet, and oftentimes I felt very disrespected, but at the same time I couldn't articulate exactly why in a mature fashion, so it was pretty unhelpful for the both of us. So if you're anything like how I was, sometimes when we have a clouded brain, it's a good idea to feel into our bodies because our bodies won't lie. They won't try to make sense of situations and they won't try and gaslight us like our minds often will. Our own body can't hide from us when something's wrong. So maybe you start feeling physically like something's wrong or like a gut feeling, or if you do feel like you can trust your mind not to twist things on you, you begin to feel and build resentment towards a person or avoid certain people or situations. And ladies, if something feels wrong, trust that. A woman's intuition is rarely wrong, and I'm not just saying that. I think we as humans have very good indicators and can pick up subtleties subconsciously that our conscious mind cannot. Yes, sometimes our anxiety can mess with that, so it's a good idea to learn how to differentiate overthinking and anxiety from actual intuition as well. Once you've recognized that a boundary that you've clearly communicated to another person has been crossed, it's your responsibility to let them know. Now, depending on the severity of the circumstance, I do believe that everyone should get a second chance to change their behavior. That's just me, and you're completely valid to not feel the same way. But say you gave this person a second chance and they say they'll change their behavior and then they go and do it again. At that point, this person is blatantly disrespecting you and your boundaries, and they know that they're doing it too. They're not dumb, you guys. I know there's a lot of stupid people on this planet, but not that stupid. If you've told them already, and there are people out there who love to pretend that they don't know or make up excuses, and this kind of relates to using weaponized psychology, and that Some people will try and blame it on trauma or daddy or mommy issues, why they're constantly disrespecting your boundaries. And yes, those things do affect our daily lives, but I know plenty of people, you guys, plenty, including myself, that have been through some major shit and don't use it to buy sympathy from others to manipulate and get what we want out of relationships. And absolutely no hate to anyone who finds themselves in situations and relationships with people like that. And honestly, no hate to the people that are hurting so badly that they feel the need to manipulate in order to feel in control of their lives. Those people just need deep, deep therapy and major introspection, and you do not have to put up with it. And not putting up with it does not make you a bad person. I know that it can be so, so hard to set and follow through with upholding boundaries because there's two parts to healthy boundaries, y'all. It's creating them and keeping them. Keeping them can be harder. I get that. It can also be incredibly hard and painful to walk away from someone who constantly disrespects your boundaries. But let me tell you guys, it's going to be even harder to stay. And let's say leaving's not an option. Maybe this is a family member we're talking about. Take some space. Create some distance between you two. If they try and be like, oh, what's wrong? I haven't heard from you. Oh, well, I'm not interested in being around people who disrespect my boundaries. But no, I'm not interested. Thank you, though. Talk to me when you've changed. Talk to me when you've had your spiritual awakening and been through intensive therapy. It's not easy. I'm just playing, you guys. In all seriousness, love yourselves, respect yourselves, protect your peace, surround yourself with an incredible support system who respects you, loves you, and wants to see you succeed. And if you don't feel like you have that right now, shoot me a DM on Instagram. It's at femfatale.podcast. I try and get back to you guys whenever I can. I love talking to you all. I love all the feedback. In fact, I got a really sweet one the other day from a listener. I think her name was Liv, and she said something about how she's been going through a lot, and one of the episodes I did recently really helped her, and I was so, so happy to read that, you guys. I read everything you send in, and it seriously makes my day to know that whatever I'm blabbing on about is helping even just one person out there as much as it helps me to actually do it. So thank you so, so much. If you guys enjoyed this podcast episode on boundaries and how we can create better ones for ourselves, feel free to leave a review and share this episode with someone who might benefit from it. If you'd like to follow this podcast, we're on Instagram at femfatale.podcast, as well as if you'd like to follow my personal account, it's at lauren.kuiper on Instagram, K-U-I-P-E-R. Thank you again so much for listening, and I hope you all have an amazing rest of your day. Bye!